about the wolf?
Just fitting, actually.
Because I'm Pat Cowan, and it's time for this.
Well, I need some good cooking. I need some good cooking. I need filling up with vitamins, B12, C and A. Well, I need some good cooking. But that packing on dominating and looking at a little bit of loving on the side wouldn't go. A little bit of loving on the side wouldn't go. A little bit of loving on the side wouldn't go astray.
So welcome to not my kitchen, someone else's kitchen. If you are just tuning to BBC Radio Sheffield, you never listens to us at this time of day before, then you won't know this is where I go and meet people who are brilliant and very enthusiastic about cooking and food and all that kind of lovely stuff. And they teach me, and indeed you, how to cook, which is brilliant. And this week I'm in the Totsley-based kitchen of Vicky Garbutt from Twiddle Foods. You run pasta-making classes, and you are also a nutrition coach. And I understand, Vicky, that you recently left your corporate, the rat race, basically, to sort of start doing this kind of full-time.
Yes, thanks, Gert. Thanks for coming to my kitchen.
Which is brilliant, which is full of so much stuff. There's nuts. So this is what I expect from anyone who works in the world of nutrition. There's lots of sort of nuts and fruits and seeds and things like that. Why? You're absolutely passionate about food. You're passionate about nutrition. You left your job recently. What motivates you? Why?
I love to educate people, and I want to inspire them to cook more at home and cook with their families and just become healthier. And I want to show them how simple and easy it can be. Even if you haven't got much time or short of money, you can make small steps to introduce these things into your diet.
And, yeah. and you've sort of gone on your own personal journey, haven't you? It's quite informed by your own situation.
Yeah, so I started studying nutrition when I got diagnosed with IBS. And the moment I was given a prescription that I could be kind of taking forever, it was the moment when I decided, no, I'm not going to take this medication. If I don't have to, there must be another way. So I started exploring it and I started studying. I signed up to the Culinary Medicine College, which is Dale Pinnock's college. It's an accredited course. And yeah, I started learning all about nutrition, and I just felt really, really excited learning more and reading a lot of research. And I know it's contradictory as well. A lot of the times it can be really overwhelming, but I want to simplify it and make it more accessible to people.
And IBS is something that so many people suffer from. I've had issues in the past, as have various family members. It can be really debilitating, really painful, and you know, that horrible sort of sensation when you've eaten something and then not long afterwards your sort of stomach kind of distends. You look like you're kind of 4 months pregnant, and it's just horrible.
Yes, and it's the problem is, it's not just food, is it? It's a lot to do with your lifestyle and
stress management. Is a massive one. Yeah.
Yes, it is a massive one. So when I help people, I like to look at them in a holistic way and not just advise on what they should be eating, but also certain tips on how they could get a better night's sleep, how important exercise is, or what kind of exercise they could be doing. And it's all like kind of changing their attitude towards food and changing small habits, basically.
And gut health in general is like absolutely key. Even if you don't have IBS, sort of making sure that you've got a healthy gut, it can pay dividends, yeah, can't it, for the rest of your health?
Yeah, and more research came out, obviously, throughout COVID. I feel like COVID was a big kind of a point where people started to do fermenting, you know, so everyone started making their own sourdough. They started talking about vitamin D and how important gut health is. And obviously, it's really good for your immunity as well, for your immune system, if you look after your gut. And then we can talk about this later as well when we'll be making some kefir. But actually looking after your gut can affect your brain health or your mental health. And then I can see this as well with my children when they are more anxious. You know, they will want a sugary snack as well. And what does that do? That will suppress the immune system, that will get them really hyperactive. That made me think, what could I do? Could I replace these snacks and drinks to something healthier? So I introduced kombucha. They started having kombucha. And actually, my eldest said that that's her favourite fizzy drink.
Oh my goodness. So this is brilliant. So basically, the tenor of the show today, we are going to be feeding our guts with really nutritious things. We're going to be making some kefir. We're going to be talking about healthy snacks for some holidays. If you've got kids and you're thinking, oh my goodness, it's going to be wall-to-wall penguin biscuits and Kit Kats, have no fear, you are in the right place. We'll start after this. Step on our guts enriching journey this morning, Vicky, is kefir. Now, people might, it might be the first time people have heard about this. I've certainly started to see it being sold in supermarkets more. In my head, it's a kind of slightly kind of tangy yogurt drink. That's all I really know about it. Vicky, educate us. What is it?
It's a fermented beverage, basically, to put it really simple.
But it isn't an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, the slight
teeny weeny
alcohol because of the fermentation process produces 0.5. Something.
Okay.
So it's safe for children as well to have. They actually say some pediatrics journals say how important it is to introduce this sour taste to children at early age because it can suppress their kind of desire towards sweeter.
That is interesting. So if they're kind of used to that sort of that tanginess, that's going to be better. So it's a fermented drink, and it's got a very rich history. It's been sort of out there for
thousands of years.
We've sort of lost it in certain parts of the world, here, but it's back.
Yes, it is back, and I think it's great. I mean, I grew up in Hungary, and I remember my mum buying this kefir, and it tasted really, really disgusting. When I was a child, I thought, oh my goodness, I will never dream this. So we got milk kefir and we also have water kefir as well. Okay. So the milk kefir obviously is made with milk and some kefir grains that are kind of like tiny biochemical factories. They turn the milk into a substance that is more healthy.
And is the kefir grain
probiotic?
Is the kefir grain actually, that's what it's called? Is it specific or is it?
It's a gelatinous substance basically. The kefir and it has live bacteria and yeast in.
Okay.
So it will depend on where it came from, what's the origin of it, and what kind of milk you use to ferment. That kind of determines the benefits as well. But so you haven't got a list of all the things that are in every single kefir. It will slightly differ.
Okay.
But obviously making it at home will be better because it doesn't have to go through all the manufacturing process.
I see.
And certain ones that are obviously in a bottle, they will be in a plastic bottle, most of them, and sometimes they have to add extra bits and bobs to kind of prolong the shelf.
It's a psychological shift, isn't it? Because we hear the words of yeast and fermentation, and it doesn't make you think, oh yes, we need to kind of get used to it and sort of go, actually no, this is really good for us. So what's the process basically? What do you have, some milk, and how do you do it?
I ordered some kefir grains online, mm-hmm. and basically just got a sterilized jar and put the kefir grains in. So 1 tablespoon of kefir grains and around 350 milliliter of full fat milk.
Okay.
You use a simple jar and put a cheesecloth on top with mm-hmm. a rubber band, and then you leave it for 18 to 24 hours.
Okay.
To ferment. So the only thing is that you need to leave it. You can't put it directly in the sun, but
out of the fridge.
Out of the fridge, on the kitchen counter, away from the window, so away from the sun. And next day, you just have to fill it into a clean glass. You can consume it straight away, and then you can save the grains, and then you can start the process again.
Right,
it's a good thing. But they're going to grow, so you just have to measure it every couple of weeks just to see whether you need to either freeze some of your grains or give away, or whether you need to increase the amount of meal that you add into
it. So the kind of ratio is important. You need to maintain the correct ratio. This is fascinating. And so you're drinking that, what do you get from it?
Because it's a probiotic drink, so it will really feed your gut with all the good bacteria. So especially if you had, I don't know, stomach upset, or if you've been taking antibiotics, it's a really, really good way to get all that goodness back into your body. It's full of antioxidants as well, which will be really good for brain health, your cardiovascular health. Yeah, it can increase nitric oxide production.
The list is endless.
It's just really a lot of health benefits.
I'm looking forward. We're going to try some of this amazing kefir. We'll talk a bit more about the water kefir after this.
BBC Radio Sheffield. realise that you've taken so much against my meatbox?
I'm just not a fan of it.
Oh, I can't wait. Oops.
Stop to drink, and you can do it with milk, and you can also do it with water. I want to talk about that in a minute, but here's some that you fermented earlier, Vicky. Yeah. So this is what, so it's a 24-hour
process. Yeah, so I usually, do it once a day, basically. Okay. Just try and remember to do it maybe when you have your morning coffee. So
and this was milk. I mean, it's the consistency of sort of watery yogurt, isn't
it? It is.
Okay. I'm going to try some. This is the first time I've had hay milk. Let me have a little. Oh, I like it. It tastes like live yogurt.
I think it tastes as strong as some of the ones you can buy on the shop.
I like
it. Smoother,
that.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's got that tanginess that you get from live yogurt. The worry is, I'm going to be honest, that it's going to taste like it's on the turn or something like that. But I really enjoy that. And so you just sort of, so that was full fat milk, the kefir grain, and it's simple as that. So what about the water? I'm intrigued because I thought it was just the yogurty based drink.
Yeah, loads of people think it's just milk kefir, and people who have lactose intolerance, to be honest, they might be able to drink that as well, the milk kefir, because the fermentation lactic acid gets kind of starts fermenting the lactose, so it's really low in lactose, and some people can tolerate that. However, it's safer to do water kefir, which tastes a little bit like kombucha, but you can try it because I made some with beetroot, one portion with raspberry.
So people might be thinking, I've never heard of kombucha before. It's sort of, it's a relatively, you know, in terms of new to this country, to the supermarkets, you can see it, and it's got a kind of tang to it. It's not sweet, so it's fizzy, and it's got a slightly kind of reminiscent of alcohol, but it's very, very minimal. So what's the process?
I find it a lot easier than making kombucha. So for the kombucha, you would need to make a green tea or a black tea and then mix it with some sugar, wait for it to cool down, and then put the SCOBY in, which is obviously the live bacteria, that's the starter, and you wait for a few days for it to ferment. With the water kefir grains, it's the same process, really, like with the milk kefir. So we just add a couple of teaspoons of the grains, and then you do need some water that doesn't have any chlorine in it, so you would need a water filter, or I have this charcoal in there.
Oh, okay.
That can
so the water from your tap is going to have chlorine in it, it's not going to work.
And that can kill it.
Okay, so in order to get the chlorine out, you've got a bottle here with tap water in it, and I was thinking, what is that black thing in there? I thought it was like an old banana. What is it?
No, it's a charcoal stick, and that basically gets rid of all the chlorine. And
there is an element, this was making me smart, because I was thinking, there's a result of slight witchcraft potion, boiling trouble sort of situation. So you could get your tap water, you can get the chlorine out, we're using this big, massive bit of chunk of charcoal, and then what do you do? So you add the water to the grains with some fruit?
So I like to use apricot, dried fruit, that it should be apricot that doesn't contain any sulfates. Again, similar thing because of the artificial things that they add to it to make them look prettier. So if you compare, you know, apricots that you can buy in the supermarkets, they're nice and
yellow,
and juicy. But then if you buy the one that are actually organic and they didn't dry them with all the additional stuff, they look a bit less pretty.
They're a bit darker.
They're a bit
darker. But they don't have any chemicals in, and you're not having to worry. And the point of this is to be as kind of chemical-free as possible.
Yeah. So I just pop that in, and also you can add, you can squeeze a bit of lemon in it.
And then a similar amount of time?
Yeah, so at least 24 hours.
Okay.
I find 2 days is good. And the beauty of it, that both milk and water kefir, you can second ferment, which I didn't tell you about. The milk kefir, you can also add some berries to it and leave it out for another day to make it a bit more tasty. So if you don't like that really clear yogurty taste, you could add some berries.
I've almost drunk all that. I absolutely love it. Can I try some of the water kefir?
Yeah, so the water kefir.
Oh, it's fizzy. It's like champagne.
Yes, it is. What happened there?
Yeah. You've got shot glasses.
And they second fermented, so the second ferment, you filter it all out, and then you can add some.
Oh, I love that. That's gorgeous.
So this has raspberry in it. And then I also experimented with beetroot. So I did use organic beetroot, but only a couple of pieces. And look at the colour.
It's the most amazing purpley, pink. It's absolutely fabulous. Oh, I like that.
It's more versatile than kombucha, in my opinion. But this is just an easy way to get probiotics into your body without taking a supplement.
I feel like I'm already significantly healthier. You're listening to BBC Radio Sheffield. We are fermenting right now. Vicky Garbutt from Twiddle Foods doing the honours. More on the other side. Stars, there was fire. BBC Radio Sheffield. So, welcome back. Not to my kitchen. I am in the kitchen of Vicky Garbutt from Twiddle Foods. She does pasta making classes, but recently she has sort of shifted focus to become a nutrition coach, very passionate about specifically gut health. And that's what we've been, it's been brilliant. I feel like I'm going back to my childhood, Vicky, and making loads of potions, which I used to do when I was a kid. They were generally inedible. I'm absolutely bowled over by what we've been trying today. The focus of today's show, it is gut health, and we've been making cafe, which is a fermented drink. It's got a kind of tangy sort of flavour to it, and we started off with the yogurt cafe, which is made with milk.
Yeah.
Tastes like live yogurt, and quite a straightforward process. The key is this grain, which I've just looked at it, and it looks a bit like short grain rice from sort of like rice pudding. And you start off with that, you add your milk, and then let it ferment for, 24 hours?
Yes, maximum.
And then we've been trying the water kefir, which you need filtered water, either in one of those kind of water filter jugs, or you can use a giant stick of charcoal, which I thought looked like a black banana, but it isn't, and that kind of gets it all out. And then you've just been showing me through the process. It's quite straightforward. So basically, you've got a jar, you pop in your little what looks like short grain rice, and then these you use the unsulfated version, so they look kind of dark brown rather than
not as juicy as well.
Yeah,
a bit drier,
but you can get them from Whole Foods shops.
Yes,
can't you?
You can order them online as well. It's a bit cheaper.
And so that literally it's that plus some water
and some sugar. So this is the difference. So we would add a tablespoon of the kefir grains to a water solution that's kind of made with sugar and water. So the same amount of granulated sugar, any kind of sugar will do, mixed with this water that is dechlorified. And you can add some dried fruits. I like dates or apricots, and also you squeeze in a little bit of lemon juice just to avoid the calm yeast to spread or develop.
So with yogurt, it's a simple case of the grains and the yogurt. You don't have to have any sugar because the milk's got sugar in it.
Yeah, so this is why I would say if you are diabetic, just make sure that you check it with your doctor that you can have it.
So this is the first ferment we've been talking about with the dried apricots.
Yeah.
And this again is, 24 hours?
I like to leave it for 2 days, to be honest, but it depends. So if it's summertime and you've got a hot kitchen, you know, it will be quicker for it to ferment.
And how do you know once it's... Does it sort of start bubbling?
Yes, it does. You can start seeing the bubbles, and this is also why I like using the apricots, because they come up to the surface and you can see all the bubbles forming too. Like if you look at the second ferment, it's already more like...
Yeah, it looks like it's a bit of a fizzy drink. So once you've gone through that and the bubbles have appeared, you need to sort of strain it, remove the grains, but keep them to the side because you're going to keep using them. And then you put it in another jar with a fruit of your choice.
Yes, so anything. I really, really love berries. I think it makes it nice and sweeter, and it will change the colour.
I was going to say, because at the moment the colours are sort of yellow, the yellowy colour, so it's going to go pink? Or?
Yes, it will go pink. So you can trick your children, like I tried to do, and use the kombucha bottle. I nearly got there. I think they're really similar. My eldest daughter is not convinced yet, but I'm on it.
You're training her. And because this is a big thing, anyone with kids will know, a lot of them will not want to just drink plain water. You've got squashes, going for no added sugar, then I find out it's got the sweetener in that has been in the news recently as not being very good for you. It's a bit of a minefield. They want something often that is not just plain water. They want something which is a bit interesting. I feel like this is going to be a hard sell for some kids, but maybe if you get them young, you can sort of change their palate.
Yes, yes. It's and also experimenting. If my children like science, so they like making concoctions and, you know, just mixing things. So maybe you can sell it like that. Oh, let's experiment. And now, do you want to taste it? And maybe when it, you know, if it tastes nice, then.
Well, I mean, this is. I have been honestly. I used to do this. I used to pretend I had a cookery show when I was a kid. like, where have we got to? And I used to, you know, randomly put all sorts of things in bowls and make sort of weird concoctions. Generally, with sort of curry powder and yogurt and all sorts of hideous stuff. But they love messing around in the kitchen, making concoctions. I think this could be quite exciting for them.
And you could also get some funky bottles. So maybe that's the key. You know, my children like to have a nice, I don't know, like a lunchbox or little containers that they like to fill.
And the idea is, it's a probiotic, it's going to help with your gut, and you've been on this sort of journey of sort of learning about the impact that having a healthy gut can have on you. It is quite major, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And if you can introduce fermented foods into your diet, have a glass of milk kefir with your breakfast, or replace your cow's milk. My husband does that sometimes, just has cereal, but then he uses a bit of
mind.
It's really nice on granola, for example. You could make like a smoothie with it, so you could add some berries and some seeds, and it will fill you up for longer. It's good protein. And also with the kombucha and the probiotics, it's really recommended for children who got ADHD and any kind of processing disorders. It's supposed to be good to look after their gut, because, you know, the gut is called your second brain, and there's a vagus nerve that will connect your gut and your brain together. So if you look after, they communicate constantly.
And if you've experienced IBS or any kind of, you genuinely can't think when you're in that kind of situation. You can't really kind of process information.
And just one more thing, obviously the kombucha is also high in GABA, which is a neurotransmitter, and it helps to produce the serotonin as well.
So, to make you happy.
So it makes you happy, yeah. It helps. So the GABA is the mood kind of regulator. So there's certain things that you can eat that will help your brain, and there will be things in it that can trigger the happy hormone production, which is, I know, it's really complex and complicated.
I love it. But also, if you like the taste as well, that is good enough.
Exactly. Yes, it's good for your brain, good for your mental health, and it's good for your gut. So it's all linked anyway.
Of course it is. So we've done the drink. We are going to have a snack, and we're going to learn how to make it after this.
Well, the first time we went out, you said you'd never settle down without a doubt.
So, we've been learning how to make gut loving drinks. And now we're moving on to some snacks, because we are a hair's breadth away from the school summer holidays. Although snacking is a all year round issue in my household. They constantly want to eat food, and you know, I reach for the shop bought sort of snack bars and things like that, and who knows what's in them. So we are going to attempt, Vicky, to make some snacks that children will eat, and you've got some, and these look like little sort of balls of delight. They're covered in coconut Ferrero Rocher. With this Ferrero Rocher, you're really spoiling us, Vicky. So what are we doing? What are we making?
So we're going to be making some energy balls. You can buy these in the shop as well. They are quite pricey, and you might be able to make different ones at home that are more suited to your taste. And we're going to be using some nuts and seeds, some oats and dried fruit.
Lovely. Let's get cracking. So you've got a massive food processor, which
I'm quite loud.
Food processor envy here right now. Okay, so some sort of, mixed nuts.
So around, 50 grams, which is like half a cup of almonds.
Lovely.
And I do like to buy the full whole almonds with the skin on. I don't like the blanched ones.
Okay. Because
obviously there's extra benefits and fiber in the skin of them. I'm going to blitz that with same amount of oats.
And these are those sort of big jumbo oats, rather than the little porridge oats.
But if you only have the porridge oats at home, you know, that's also fine.
I do love an oat, and they are very good for you, aren't they? They're full of slow release energy and all sorts.
Yeah, full of beta glucans. That's really good for the cholesterol. Flushes out the blood cholesterol.
Which is good. I do love an oat-based dish. Lovely.
So we added the almonds, the oats, and I think it's probably best to just blitz this.
Okay, we'll do a quick blitz.
But we also, what you can also do, if you like cinnamon, I like to add a pinch of cinnamon to everything I can.
Now, I found cinnamon is a brilliant sort of natural sweetener. Mm-hmm. Often, if you add cinnamon to something, you often don't have to add nearly as much, you know, maple syrup or honey, and maybe not at all. It really does give a sweetness.
Yes, and I do use it with my coffee. So if I feel like, you know, instead of having sugar, obviously, honey is a really good one. But sweet cinnamon, if you sprinkle it on top, it just gives it...
I love the smell. Immediate, right, okay. We're going to have a bit of noise. We can cope with it. Bit of a zhuzh.
You're a blitz around the animals.
Aha!
Well, it's... we could...
Yeah, it looks all right.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of more crunch.
A bit more crunch to it. Okay.
And then you could also add chia seeds.
Now, chia seeds, they're like tiny, tiny little sort of black seeds, a few white ones. What do they do?
So they're full of antioxidants and also omega-3, but it's plant-based omega-3. So people say, oh, this is really good for you and you should have it, but you shouldn't have it to replace oily fish, for example, because they contain different type of omega-3. However, adding it to your breakfast, it will enhance all the health benefits of the other ingredients.
I have put it on top of porridge and also with sort of overnight oats.
It gives it a bit of a crunch.
It's quite nice, a bit of texture, lovely. Some apricot, dried apricot.
So we can put dried apricots, and if it's enough, if it's gonna come together enough, then we don't need to add anything else.
These are juicy.
They are quite juicy. These are the shortbread ones. They do contain sulfate, so they're nice and colourful. And
because they've got that kind of water content, this might stick together.
And if they don't, you could either add more, you could add different types of dried fruit as well, or if you like, almond butter or coconut oil is also really good, and that would help in energy balls to bring the consistency.
So it's a sort of, it's all suck it and see, you experimenting.
Yes, and this is the beauty. So if you only have like cranberries at home or cashew nuts, just use those. It doesn't have to be a specific thing. You can add any of them.
Whatever you got. Yeah, you can sort of see it coming together, can't you?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to, it does come together into a big ball usually, but if it's just in crumbs, that's also fine because you can shape it with your hands.
Okay. And we're ready to shape it now.
Yeah, that's it. You can shape it, and if you like coconut, then you can have desiccated coconut and just kind of pour it on a plate, and then you can roll it in the coconut, or you could also use sesame seed. Raw cocoa is also really good, full of magnesium, that gives it a bit more sweetness as well,
and also might be more likely to encourage your kiddies to
think there's chocolate in it. That's
right. I'm gonna try one. Whilst I do, I would love you to share your Nesquik little your trick that you managed to hoodwink your children. Go on, tell me.
Yeah, so when my children finished this Nesquik pot, I decided to replace the Nesquik with raw cocoa, and I kind of knew that would be a really big change to their palate, so they would definitely notice that it tastes a bit more bitter
because it's very sugary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's delicious. Yes. So I mixed in a bit of coconut sugar to kind of help them think it does look like it, and the consistency is more like Nesquik. And I honestly, it only took like a couple of weeks for them to get used to it, and we never looked back.
But crucially, you housed that mix in the old Nesquik packet.
Yes, so that is a really good trick, I think. Children love these colourful things, and they see the box and they think, okay, that's like hot chocolate. It's got
a rabbit on the front.
Yeah.
So they weren't entirely aware that you'd done this little swapsies.
No, they didn't. They were a bit surprised and said, oh, did you buy a different type of, that's not Nesquik? And I thought, oh, yes, it is Nesquik. We just ran out of the top to top.
Hours of therapy they'll need when they're older. The lies that their mother told them. These are absolutely absolutely delicious. And what I love about this is you could just mix it up, you can change it. But these are the sweetness from the apricots. Because I was thinking, well, would I really want to eat this? I'm not entirely sure. But because you don't need to bake them, you're literally just rolling them together, topping them with whatever you want.
Yeah.
And Bob's your uncle. And again, if you could find some exciting little tray to put them in, so that your kiddies think that they're somehow some kind of shop-bought delight, then they're probably more likely to eat them.
Yeah. And also you could create little balls, you could shape them into, you know, like a chocolate biscuit ball, put cocoa on top, then it will make it look like that.
I've really enjoyed this. They are absolutely gorgeous. I really loved the kaffir, the yogurt one, the beetroot one. Who knew? If people are listening to this thinking, oh my goodness, this all sounds a bit convoluted. What one thing would you say? So you're sort of starting out on your kind of gut-enriching journey. What one thing would you suggest people sort of think about, consider?
Taking small steps, being open to trying new things. I know this is more than one thing.
But you don't need to immediately go, right, that's it, all I'm eating is sauerkraut and drinking kombucha. No. And just maybe one change, just to sort of see how it impacts you and then move on from there.
Yes, and also with fermented food, it's recommended that you only try small amounts, just to try that your body can digest it and tolerate it. So don't go in and start eating, because you might actually achieve the opposite.
But yeah, a little bit. And honestly, you might be listening to this thinking, oh, hang on a minute, oh, fermented yogurt drink, that sounds awful, and a beetroot. I've really enjoyed it. I've absolutely loved it. I'm going to try it, I promise. I'm going to get one of those charcoal sticks that looks like an old banana, and I'm going to give it a whirl. It's quite simple. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Vicky Garbutt from Twiddle Foods, Gut Health Ambassador extraordinaire. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming to my kitchen.
Oh, I tell you what, I really enjoyed it. So now on my countertop, I've got all these jars with a cheesecloth over the top, and I'm sort of concocting stuff, and I'm waiting for my... I bought the charcoal that she mentioned that filters your water naturally, and I've got that. Looks like an old banana. And I'm up for it. I'm doing it. And I'm loving the kefir that I'm making. I've started off with the milk kefir, but I'm going to move on to the water kefir. I think it's fun. Janice has messaged to say, please can you ask if there's a minimum or maximum amount of the kefir drink you can have in one day? Many thanks. What Vicky said is you need to start off small, because your tummy's sort of got to get used to it. And I've just had a little look, and it says 1 to 3 cups a day, sort of around that eventually. But I'll build up to that. And when I think when they say 1 to 3 cups, they mean the American measurements. So it's sort of around kind of 200 to kind of 700 mil. I think that'd probably be your maximum. But I really recommend it. You can have it. I made a really nice smoothie with the yogurt kefir I made, which was absolutely gorgeous. And guess what? The kids loved it. My little boy thought the water kefir, because I tricked him. This is the key. He said, what are you drinking? I went, oh, it's a grown-up drink. I don't think you'll like it. And he was like, oh, no, I really want to try it. I really want to try it. Oh, go on then. But I mean, probably a bit too grown-up for you anyway. Drunk it. And was like, I love it, mummy. I think he thought it was beer. So I'm not sure how much I want to encourage that. But, you know, he really loved it. It's really good for him. So, yeah, if you would like more detailed instructions, drop me an email, radio.sheffield@bbc.co.uk, and I'll send them on to you.
BBC Music introducing the best.